Yes, indeed. Amen. Won't you please be seated, my friends. As we have opportunity to hear the word of the Lord this morning, this Easter celebration and the joy of the Lord among us as his life living in us now as people of faith, we continue in this word of the Lord from John chapter 15, Jesus addressing his disciples in the truth of the kingdom in these ways concerning vine and branches and who he is, who they are, and what's the result then of being a branch in the vine. And the disciples, as they're hearing this word of the Lord, they've had a chance now to travel with Jesus for many years, 3 years. And they've traveled north and south and east and west all over the what we call the promised land, the land of Israel. They've gone from mountains to the Sea of Galilee. They've gone to the shore of the Mediterranean. They've gone all over this place. And throughout their travels, they've seen such wonderful things of the kingdom of God. Things that we experience. Like when we go from here in the Shenandoah Valley and we pass through the mountains heading east and we end up at the shore there of the Atlantic Ocean. Sue and Sam and I had a chance to do that on vacation. And to see all those wonderful sights in between. Like vineyards. Now, in biblical times, vineyards were all over the place, more so than they are now. And maybe at one time, in parts of Virginia, there were more vineyards, although it's surprising to see as you're traveling where vineyards pick up, or sprout up, and are found. Jesus continues with this idea concerning grapes, fruit, vine branches. But now, as we hear this word of the Lord, Jesus travels with his disciples are coming to a close. John chapter 15 actually is a conversation that takes place in the upper room, and it even takes place before Jesus' resurrection, before his death. It takes place on that night when he's going to be betrayed and handed over into sinful human beings, the hands of sinful men, and then be crucified. It's that time in the upper room where Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He's cut a new covenant with his body and blood and bread and wine, and is leading his disciples into this new truth as he leads us concerning who he is and who we are and what that means for us in life. So Jesus lays out, as we're continuing from last week, this kingdom truth of who we are. He is the vine, and we are the branches. So Jesus says, as the Father has loved me. Now, you know that word there that Jesus is using, agape. It's that kind of love that is different than anything that we know in our human relationships. It's that divine, eternal, self-sacrificial love that God has for us as human beings. He loves us unto eternity selflessly. That he would give his own son is the example of that, right? The truth, the foundation of that. And Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, and he'll go on to finish this phrase, but part of that is unpacking in there that he didn't allow me to stay dead. My Father selflessly gave me as his son over to you for your salvation in death, but I didn't stay dead. Pardon me. He raised me from death to life. As the Father has loved me in this way, so Jesus says, so I now have loved you. I have given myself to you for your salvation, for your life. And I've raised you, as you believe in me, to a new life, a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so in this, Jesus has said, this is why I call you friends. No longer servants. You're more than that. You're in a relationship with me as friends. And that kind of love that we share together as friends, brethren, brothers and sisters in a relationship as friends of the Lord, well, this is what defines us now as a vine to its branches. And the branches then, as we're called, to bear fruit. So Jesus says, if you keep my commands then, you'll remain in my love I have for you, each one of you, as my branches with fruit. That word remain is an interesting context for us. It has a couple of connotations there that really speak to this idea of vine and branches of what Jesus is alluding to. It talks about, first of all, being brought in. Grace, right? That I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts and keeps me holy, sanctified in him each and every day. This is the remaining. To remain in Jesus is to be brought in by his power and his work. And in that remaining, it's to be interchanged then as a branch to the vine. We're one. And remaining then as one brings forth what the branch is meant to do. Like for you and me to bear fruit. Fruit of the kingdom. I think Rush is just saying, I'm into that. Thanks, Rush. You bet. Yeah. To bear fruit of the kingdom. And so to remain in Jesus, in his love as he's loved us, is all part of our relationship together in him and with one another. As Jesus lays this out for us, one of the things that he's doing here is giving to us what we call the first and second table of the law, right? The first table, which we talk about as the first three commandments, is agapeing God, loving God. And the second table, commands 4 through 10, is then agapeing, loving one another. Reflected then in this remaining in Jesus' love as it's known among us as his body, the church. Or, as Jesus expresses in Luke chapter 10, the summary then of those two tables, love, agape, the Lord your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and agape, a love your neighbor as yourself. Summarized there. This is the call that we have to remain in who we are as God's people. And Jesus says, this is my call to you, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. To remain in my Father's command, Jesus says, is to know his love for me as your Savior. Command and remain both share similar connotations together. To remain and to live in, obey a command is to share that intertwined, entangled relationship that we've been brought into as people of faith, where fruit then is born out. But this is where we struggle, right here, isn't it? Because in my sinful old Adam, in that nature that still plagues me, forgiven of it for sure, but it still likes to raise its ugly head in my life every day, yours too, we struggle in this remaining in the commands intertwined in Jesus. I want to do my own thing. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And right now we have a culture that clearly doesn't encourage any other kind of thought process. Yeah, you do what you want and when you want. And we're seeing that from everything from protest on college campuses to individual hidden kind of sins in the secretness of our locked homes, where remaining, command of Jesus, intertwined with him, sometimes so far from who we are as God's people that we don't know love, self-sacrificial love of God. And in that, we threaten then to cut ourselves off. The biblical term for that is to be pruned. Where there is no fruit, that branch is pruned. Well, this is exactly why Jesus has come as the vine and has entangled himself in our lives. Corporately, individually, is so that there would be a forgiveness known that passes our understanding. A forgiveness that's marked by not me, my actions, my how much I choose to remain or choose to obey. It's not dependent on me, us, you. It's dependent on the Lord, His goodness and His grace. I am the vine. I'm where your life is found. I'm the one who gives that life to you that you might have it in abundance and unto eternity. I am the one who shows you what it means to be a friend named Jesus. Greater love, Jesus says, doesn't he? Has no one than this, that a friend would lay down his life for one's friends. That somebody, you, Jesus, lays his life down so that we might be called his friends. Ah, well, this is where our forgiveness is known. This is where our forgiveness is given with Jesus and his sacrificial death, his blood shed for you and me, be washed in his righteousness. God made him who was without sin to be sin for us, that we might know the righteousness, the very character expressed in the fruit of our lives in Christ Jesus. And Jesus says, I've told you this so that your joy, so that my joy may be in you. My expression of the kingdom and all of that life and blessing that I know might be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Wow. What a powerful statement Jesus gives us there. He wants our lives to reflect his joy, and in that then, our lives, our joy would be complete. Full. Not just full, but running over the brim kind of full. An expression of hearts and lives that can't help but ooze the agape of our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Wow. And I've called you friends. So that your joy would be complete, I want you to know I've got a relationship with you. And this relationship is not temporary. It's not dependent on you. It's a permanent relationship that I give to you. It's marked in eternity, in the promises of eternity. And it's a friendship that I've established with you. Because I love you. Your old Adam and everything. I love you. And my forgiveness takes care of that old Adam in you. So, remain in me. Stay entangled in what I've brought you into. You want to exercise your free will and cut me off? I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is continually love you and care for you so that everything within my power, Jesus says, you stay as my friend, entangled in me, loving me, obeying my commands. So how is this then reflected in the joy of a life in Christ Jesus as a branch is in him, the vine? And what comes from that then is his fruit of the blessing of a relationship in Jesus. Well, first of all, there's some aspects that we can grasp in what Jesus is saying here, some truths that mark our living. Friends of Jesus do what their friend does, right? Flattery is the most, imitation, thank you, is the highest form of flattery, right? Yeah. So, when Jesus is imitated in our hearts and in our lives, not just flattered, he's glorified, he's honored, it's recognized, we belong to him, I'm his friend. Friends of Jesus do what their friends do. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command, remaining in me. So to be enjoined with Jesus so that the end results are made known is what Jesus is working in our hearts and lives. And what is the end result? Well, in this reflection that Jesus gives us, it's fruit. Fruit of his spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Forbearance. There's no other power of fruit that's available in our lives except that which Jesus gives to us, this which expresses his presence in my life. And this is where then we walk every day, right? in those fruits, living among each other, unto the Lord for his praise and glory, out there in a culture that runs very differently than the kingdom to which we belong. But to express that fruit is to remain in Jesus, enjoined in his command. Friends of Jesus know the ways of their friend. And you know it. We live it every day. I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. He has revealed it to you. He's taken the lid off of these mysteries and said, here, by my Spirit, eat and drink of these mysteries that you might know the fullness of the kingdom that's at work in you. Friends, isn't that why it's so important, like we're doing today, like you're experiencing with us online, to be in the Word of God? That Word of God directs us in our life to know then who we are as God's people and how this is lived out now and unto eternity. To be in Bible study together also, right? Whether it's small group Bible studies or large group Bible studies. I'll talk about that in a minute in the announcements for us. We have a new Bible study starting in a few weeks. But to be in that Word so that the mysteries of our salvation are made known to us in that Word. To know Jesus as Lord. To know the Father as my Father. To know his will, his ways, as he longs for them to be expressed in my daily living, because they have been imparted. They've been made known to me so that I then, in the witness of my life, the bearing of fruit, might make them known to the praise and glory of our God. And finally, friends of Jesus. Charles, we got something. There we go. Thank you. Friends of Jesus reflect then the grace of their friend. This final aspect, verse 16, Jesus says, I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. To live in Jesus Christ is to live out, right? Jesus Christ. To bring forth the attitude of my heart, which is his grace. The grace that's defined me as his friend because he loves me. And a grace that marks these days and unto eternity, a grace that marks the celebration of our lives, not just this Easter season, but the grace that marks our lives all year, every day, until everlasting life. Whether we find ourselves in the Shenandoah Valley or traveling through different parts of Virginia, the country, the world, whether we find ourselves at a lake or the ocean, whether we find ourselves in between, this is what we know and experience. A Father's love for us, for you and me, expressed to us in his Son, Jesus, the vine, who calls us his branches, and lived out and expressed in your heart and mine are the fruits then of the blessing known in a Savior who calls us his friend. Come and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and the blessing of being claimed in your kingdom, your eternity, because of Jesus, the Savior of the world, my Savior who calls me his friend, for entangling me in your great love and the opportunity to express that in the commands of your kingdom through the fruit of my life, Lord. What a joy this is. What a privilege it is. We long, Lord, to stay there, remain in you, and so to proclaim you, Christ crucified, risen from the dead, living in my heart. To you be the praise and the glory as we give you thanks and praise as Jesus loves us. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding, well, may it keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting, in his goodness and grace and his truth, as friends of the Savior Jesus. Amen.